disciples, but before that time, Marianne will be coming with a special for us.
Amen. Thank you so much, Marianne. I certainly appreciate that beautiful song. Thank you for the work ahead of time on putting those pictures together. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to turn to the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew chapter number 1. We have been on Sunday mornings, most Sunday mornings this year, have been going through the book of Ephesians. I have one message left in the book of Ephesians. I'll be preaching that actually the last Sunday of December. That'll be December 29th. And so we'll finish out that particular series on the born-again identity. Today, next week, and the week following, I'll be doing a series here on Christmas, and it's called Christmas Characters. And so I want to go ahead and share with you about some of the people that we find in this first Christmas story, if you will. Matthew chapter 1, I want you to look, if you would please, beginning at verse number 16. We'll read to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily," or privately. "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Today I want to look at the character here, the man Joseph, and I'd like to preach on this subject, the man entrusted with raising the Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that you would just guide us here today. May all of our thoughts, our attention be brought right now into captivity. And would it be that we would concentrate on that which you have for us? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. May you walk in and through each pew, touch the hearts of each one here today with whatever need there is. I pray, Father, that you would just meet those needs. And may people respond to the preaching of thy word. May there be no distractions here today. May there be nothing that would take our attention away from the word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get started here today, would you do me a favor and check your cell phone, if you would? And I'd like to ask you that if you have a cell phone, that you'd at least put it on vibrate. Best thing would be to turn it off. Probably even better than that, leave it at home. But regardless of that, we want to make sure that our distractions are cut down. I appreciate cell phones, but they often can be a nuisance and ring at the greatest of times. Well, our message here today, the man entrusted with raising the Savior. As I mentioned, we're beginning a series today in this Christmas season that's called Christmas Characters. You know, it's interesting to me, as you look at the gospel writers, people have often asked the question, why are there four gospels? There's a Matthew, a Mark account of the life of Jesus, a Luke account, as well as a John account. Why couldn't God just assemble all of that and put it in one book known as the gospels? Well, let's just take and answer that question by just thinking about the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus. Let's start, if you will, with the book of Mark. Mark makes no mention of the birth of Jesus at all. In fact, his is the shortest of the Gospels, 16 chapters. He's very concerned about getting in and showing here the very servant of the Lord and what Christ came to do. The Gospel of John. John doesn't touch really on the Christmas season. In fact, he goes back further than when Jesus was born on this earth. He goes back to the very beginning. In the beginning was God, and that Word was with God and was God. The book of Luke begins and gives a great narrative of that Christmas story, but it emphasizes a lot about Mary. But the book of Matthew, of which we read our text here today, centers on this Hebrew context, this Jewish context, if you will. And where we find here in the verses that we did not read in verses 1 through 15 is the genealogical record of this man known as Joseph. It traces his lineage back all the way to a man that is heavily revered by all Jewish people, Abraham. And this man, Joseph, is going to be the center of our attention today. Next week, we'll deal with Mary. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like to ask a question of you as we begin this message. And I want to ask that question after building a small case scenario. Let's say you and your wife just had a baby. I'm waiting for the snickers, okay? I understand. That's why it's a case scenario. But let's say you and your wife just had a baby, and you were not able to keep that baby for whatever reason, and you had the choice of where to place that baby, that child. question for you is this. What would the conditions be of where that child would go? Would you not give consideration to the house that your baby would live in? Where's the house located? Is it in a good neighborhood? Or would you not ask questions about the school that they might send this child to? Would you not give strong consideration to who the parents would be? What type of people are they? Are they upright? Are they moral? Are they church-going people, possibly? Well, think about this for just a moment. Almost 2,000 years ago, God the Father, the creator of all you see, and the one who formed us in the belly of our mother, sent his holy begotten Son to this earth to live as a man, the God-man. Think of the hundreds of selections that God had on the earth at that time. Would he select someone that was of fame? Would he select someone who had fortune? Would he select someone who had some religious authority? Well, may I say to you and submit that God did not do it that way. In fact, he picked an obscure couple, unknown in the religious circles, unknown in the social realm of Jerusalem. The man, Joseph, was not a ruler or even a rabbi, but a carpenter of no notoriety. We know that Joseph was not anybody real important. Now, he was part of a kingly line. When you read these first number of verses in Matthew chapter 1, we find something very important, that Joseph's ancestors had been king of Judah. In fact, Joseph traces his lineage all the way to David. But as you notice in the verse that we read, verse number 17, that the generations are broken up into groups of 14, three groups of 14. And we find that it's broken up and the kingly line is lost because Judah was taken into captivity by Babylon. And when the people were ripped out of their homeland in Israel, those that were part of the kingly line became as the average people. And now as we come down hundreds and hundreds of years later, we come to Joseph, though he can say, my great-great-great-great-grandfathers were kings, yet Joseph is an average person. We know that he and Mary were poor, because in Luke chapter 2, when they brought Jesus to the temple to go ahead and dedicate him, they brought what poor people would, and that is two turtle doves or two pigeons. As far as we know, Joseph was not well educated. But the question remains, why this couple? Why this particular man? We don't have enough time to examine both of them. Again, we'll address Mary and her subject and her life next week. But why did God pick Joseph out of all the other men in Israel for the awesome responsibility of raising the God child? Though not much is written about Joseph, we can look through Scripture and there's not an extensive amount of things, but enough is said to be able to paint a picture that provides some instruction for you and I today. And so today I'd like to point out a couple of things in the Bible that show us why God selected Joseph for the awesome task of raising the Savior of the world. Number one, may I submit this to you, Joseph was a man who did right no matter the cost. Joseph was a man who did right no matter the cost. Note, if you will, in verse number 19, where it says of Joseph that he was a just man. Just. The word just may also be, the word righteous may be inserted there as well. Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. What does it mean to be righteous or just? Well, it has this idea that you fulfill your obligations. It is doing that which was required. It is making sure that you're doing right before God and that you're doing right before your fellow man. The Bible tells us about John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, that they were righteous before God, Luke 1, verse 6. The Bible said the same of Simeon. Remember that man, Simeon, that finally had, he waited all these years for the birth of the Messiah, and he held him in his hands. Well, the Bible says about Simeon that he was a man who was just and devout. I find it interesting, Pilate said of Jesus, actually Pilate's wife, Matthew 27, 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" What does it mean to be just and righteous? It means that I follow the law of God and I fulfill my obligations before God, but I also make sure that my obligations are fulfilled before man, that I'm honest, that I work the way I ought to work. What ways was Joseph considered a just man? Well, let's place ourselves, if you will, in a setting and see what took place and how Joseph responded, and let you be the judge if Joseph was a just man. Let's first understand the setting of Joseph and Mary's relationship. The Bible says that they were engaged. In fact, this is the meaning of the word espoused. They were engaged. But an engagement in the days of Joseph and Mary was far different than engagement today. You see, arranged marriages were often the norm. Young people did not fall in love at this time. They learned to love each other. You and I tend to fall in love, and we need to learn to love one another even when that fall of love begins to fade away. And when the days came and in these times here of these engagements to make the marriage official, a couple would get engaged and then the husband would go to prepare all the things for the wedding. And an engagement in this time was just as similar to a wedding or a marriage. And that is, it was looked at as a very strong compact between a man and a woman. And the only way that an engagement could be broken off is that a couple would have to draft and make legal before witnesses a writing of divorcement. But notice here, the Bible tells us in verse number 18 that Mary, and notice these four words, was found with child. Found. Did Mary reveal it to Joseph? Did Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, whom she had been visiting with some time, did they come and say, "Look, we'll go ahead and kind of butter you up to Joseph and kind of break the news to him"? Or was it one day while Joseph is dressing, he looks over and says, "Mary, is that a bump I see right there? How was it found?" We don't know. But all the Bible says is that Mary was found with child. Imagine the thoughts that flooded through Joseph's mind. The Bible tells us in verse number 18, they had no sexual relationships. So therefore, Joseph in his mind knows that this child is not his child. But imagine further now, as Mary sees the wheels turning in Joseph's mind, she says, "Joseph, honey," and she takes him by the hand and kind of pats his hand. She said, "Look, this is not somebody else in this earth. This is the Holy Ghost child." Really? So you mean to tell me that you're pregnant and this is a miracle baby? Really? Joseph's options at this point are twofold. First, Joseph can take the obvious that she's been impregnated by some other man, or he can believe what she is telling him, that this truly is God's child. But as all this is turning in Joseph's mind, this to me is what makes Joseph a just man, because Joseph had to consider the law. Here it is, Mary's pregnant. Is it someone else's child? Is it she really telling the truth? Is this really God's child? Well, here it is. She's pregnant, and he's thinking about Deuteronomy chapter 22, where the Bible says that if a woman is found pregnant, she's to be taken out, and it's not the man she's engaged to. She's to be taken out and stoned. Or maybe Joseph begins again as a just man. He's thinking about the law, and he begins to think about Deuteronomy 24:1, where he writes out a bill of divorcement and takes care of it that way. But I want to tell you something. Here it is, Joseph, a just man. He wants to do what is right before God, but he also wants to do right before Mary, and he loves Mary. And the conflict of emotions and principle against feelings coming together, what is Joseph to do? Well, he could confess that he was not the father. What would that do to Mary? She'd be condemned as an adulteress and taken out and stoned. He could lie and claim to be the father. He could say, well, let's go ahead and sweep this under the rug. I'll just say that I'm the father. But think about this. Now the reputation of everybody that is involved would be tarnished, and the qualification of Jesus as a Messiah would be viewed as suspect. Everybody would say, oh, that's Joseph's boy there. But a third option is this. He could write a bill of divorcement and just move on with his life. You see Joseph's dilemma? You see what Joseph is facing here? He did not know what to do. He didn't want to lose Mary, but he also knew that what he was supposed to do in that situation, and he felt like his hands were tied. Joseph, being a just man, he takes the course of action that he felt was the best before God and before men, and the Bible says that he decided to put her away privily, privately. He wasn't going to take it before a whole court of law. He wasn't going to take it before a whole group of people and shame her before those others. He would gather a couple of witnesses, that which was required, and he would do it quietly and then walk away. But I really believe what makes Joseph a just man is this, because the Bible tells us that when the Holy Ghost came and talked to him and told him what was going on, Joseph, his eyes were open, he knew God's word, and the Bible says he did not know her, he took her to his wife, and he didn't know her till the day that Jesus was born. Joseph was a just man because he did what was right, and he did not bend the situation to fit his own fleshly approval. How many people we have today, and let's discount the world. Let's not talk about the unsaved, but let's bring it to church people. How many church people live in what we call situational ethics? If it makes sense from a worldly standpoint, do it. If it feels good, do it. If nobody else knows about it and I can get away with it, then do it. And I'm here to remind you of something today, that God is looking out across churches in America, and he's looking for men and women who are just and righteous before God. I'm talking about being just before God at home. I'm talking about being just in the workplace. I'm talking about being just and righteous in your neighborhoods and how you write out your documents and send your taxes in. We need people who are just today, who stand for what is right. How did Joseph get entrusted? Because God looked down and saw a man. There's a just man. How did Noah get selected to build the ark? The Bible says he was a just man. How did David get selected to be a king? Out of all the people, David was a man after God's own heart. How did Joseph get entrusted with the awesome task of raising the God child? He was just. Does that mean he was more special than anybody else? No, but in his life, he decided that if God said it, he'd do it, and he wanted to fulfill his obligations before man. Joseph did what was right, no matter the cost. Oh, how much we need Christians today to live for Christ, no matter the cost. People belittle you. People say, oh, you're a goody two-shoe. Oh, you're a good little boy. Oh, that's a nice little Christian. No, my obligation is to God. I follow Him, and He'll take care of the rest of it. Joseph was a man who was just. He considered the cost. Number two, I want you to notice, he was in a place where God could talk to him. Please notice the words in verse number 20. I love this. After he gets the news from Mary, look at this. It says, but while he thought on these things, Joseph didn't make a rash decision. Joseph did not act on his feelings and make matters worse by compounding problem upon perceived problem. But Joseph took the time to reflect and listen for God to speak to him. Where are the men and women today who in tough times will sit still and listen to God? Now look, we've all been in situations where we begin acting rashly and we do things on our own. I'm just going to tell you, one of the greatest characters in all the Bible did it, Elijah. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel had such a great victory before those 450 prophets of Baal. Now you talk about being able to kick your heels together as you're coming down the mountain. Man, we had a revival. We had great things happen. And he comes before the queen and she says, before tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And he starts quivering in his boots. And he runs off and he gets in a cave and he says, God, just take my life. It's not worth living. God looks down and says, Elijah, step out for just a minute. He said, I want you to look over there. And all of a sudden, this massive wind began to blow through. And God says, I'm not in that wind. An earthquake took place. And God then said, I'm not in that earthquake. A great fire then happened. And God says, I'm not in that. Three massive causes. And God says, I'm not in any of those things. But then a still small voice. And God says, Elijah, this is where I'm at. You know, sometimes we want God to write the headlines for us in the sky, don't we? We want God to hit us over the head with a 2x4. We want God to go ahead and smack us down and say, this is what you're supposed to do. But oh, how we need church people and God's people to sit down and say, God, I am here. Speak to me. I'm listening. I'm all ears. The Bible tells us in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Notice, slow to speak. Is it not amazing to you that God gave us one mouth and two ears? We live like we've got two mouths and a half an ear. But God says that you're to be swift to hear. Psalm 46:10, I love this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still. Know that I'm God. It's high time today that we have men and women, boys and girls, who take the time to listen to God. How is God speaking to you today? How is God speaking to us? Now, in this day, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. I'm not saying that God's not going to talk to you in some way. I'm not here to box God in. God can choose to do whatever He wants. He can come and show things to you as long as it goes in accordance with His Word. But you know where the majority of how God speaks to us today? It is through the written Word of God. Amen. So question is, are you sitting down with your Bible open each day and being still before God so you can know Him? For most, their Bible sits at home and it collects dust from Monday through Saturday. Sunday, they blow the dust off. They come into church and say, okay, God, speak to me. My friend, I want to remind you of something. God desires to speak to you, and He uses His Word. You need to get into God's Word. But you also need to be a part of God's family where you're under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You say, well, preacher, I come on Sunday mornings and you feed me here on these Sunday mornings. I want to just tell you something. We have four services here where you can be fed. We have Sunday school. We have some great teachers that are teaching Sunday school classes. We have Sunday morning here. Tonight at 6 o'clock, I have something that I believe I'm going to share that will help every one of you. On Wednesday nights, I do a little different format where I teach the Word of God. We're going through some things that I think would help you in your Christian life. But most of you say, oh, preacher, 1 week is enough. I feel full. I want to just tell you something, that in the day that we live in, 2019, soon to be 2020, things are getting worse and worse, darker and darker. And the question is this for you as a Christian, do you need less of the Word of God because you're doing okay, or do you need more of the Word of God? I think we need more of it. I think anytime the doors are open, you ought to come and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm listening, feed me. Feed me. You and I ought to take the Word of God to memory. I find very few people today memorize Scripture. But how important it is. And I really believe that Joseph, in the fact that he listened to God and he knew the Scriptures, because when the dream came along and the angel of God spoke to him, it was like Joseph had an aha moment. That angel spoke to him and he said, I get it. You know why he got it? Because notice here, the angel here called him by his full name. Look at this in verse number 20. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now, I don't know if you were like me, but if I got called by my full name, I was in trouble. If I heard John Matthew, it was serious. If I heard John Matthew Boucher, I better, you know. But now, if I heard John Matthew Boucher III, I better run away. Joseph is called Joseph, thou son of David. What's that a reference to? What's God doing through this messenger to Joseph? He's reminding him, I know you're poor. I know nobody knows who you are, but I know who you are. You're the son of David. David was promised that there would be one who would sit on his throne that would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Joseph, this one who Mary told you she's pregnant with, it's not your child, it's not any other man on this earth, it is my child fulfilling the promise to your father David. Amen. Think about that. But then I love this, that the Spirit of God, while Joseph is listening, makes application. Because Joseph knew the verse in Isaiah that, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. But notice this, they shall call his name Emmanuel. But the angel of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, adds this. He says, which being interpreted is God with us. Have you ever been sitting in church and a preacher or a teacher or somebody has been sharing about a particular verse, and in your mind you go, I know that verse. But as you listen, the Spirit of God speaks and shows you something you've not ever seen before. Does that mean that maybe you hadn't really read it a whole lot before? No, it probably was something you were very familiar with. But the Holy Spirit of God illuminated this in your life. Why it is important to be under the sound of the Word of God when the church doors are open. Why it is important for you to read the Word of God, though you may have read it multiple times, it is because that one particular time, God may illumine a verse and cause it to stand out, and you have an aha moment. And you go, that makes sense. I need that. God has a way of doing it. You know what I found as a preacher? I have found as a preacher that the very services where I preach or a revival speaker comes in and I make a note that so-and-so is not here, do you realize that as a preacher, knowing the things in their life, that's sometimes the very messages they need? It's uncanny the way it works. So I want to encourage you, lest you're deathly sick or out of town, you ought to make a commitment to say, I'm going to be under the sound of the Word of God. Because it may be that very sermon God speaks to me. You know why Joseph was entrusted with raising the Savior? Because he was in a place where God could speak to him. Lastly, I give this to you. He simply obeyed that which he heard. He simply obeyed that which he heard. Look with me at four specific times mentioned in the Bible that Joseph received direction from the Lord. Would you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20? He says here, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Well, what happens? Verse 24, notice this. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, what's the next word? All right, let me try that again. You're falling asleep on me. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, next word?
Did.
All right, I added two more people. Great. What am I trying to get at here? Joseph was told to do something by God. When it was over, Joseph didn't question. Joseph didn't delay. Joseph did what he was supposed to do. Look at the second instance. After the wise men came from the east, after Jesus' eight-day dedication to the Lord, an angel of the Lord told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus and run away to Egypt to escape Herod. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Look at this. It says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And I'm looking at the wrong verse here. I think it's in verse number 1. Or two, well, anyways, I wrote the wrong verse down, but the command was given to get off in Egypt. But notice verse number 12 here. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And here it is, Joseph takes off. The third time was another visit by the angel of the Lord, telling him to go back to Israel. That's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But notice verse number 21, the Bible says, and he arose and took the child. The fourth command given by God is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 22. And that is that Joseph was warned that Herod's son was ruling in the district of Judea, but Joseph needed to settle in that area. And I love what it says in verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. You know what I find about Joseph? That every time he's commanded something by God, he did it. He did it. How did Joseph get to be the man who was entrusted with raising the Savior? He was a just man. He was a man who got into a place where he could listen to God. But the blessings don't come just by mere listening, but by following and doing. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now think about this. It's with Joseph that the gospel, the good news, if you will, begins to be proclaimed throughout all the world. But it can only happen on the basis of Joseph's faith and obedience. Notice he didn't throw out a bunch of excuses to God and say, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not capable, you need to find somebody else. No, the Bible says that as he was bidden to do something, he kept the engagement and he did not know her till the time Jesus was born. He obeyed God. What's God calling you to do? You know, he's still looking for people that he can use to carry out his will in the world today. Now, I'm certain he'll probably never ask you to do what he asked Joseph and Mary to do, okay? But God is going to give some difficult task possibly to you. He's looking for people to follow him despite the troubles of life. He's looking for people who will take the assignments and they'll do them. But I'm telling you, as God is looking through, he's looking for people who are righteous and just before him. He's looking for people who are listening for God's call, and he's looking for people who do not delay, but will get up and say, God, I will do it. I'll do it. Are you that kind of person? If not, can I encourage you to get before God and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. As I close this morning, I am reminded of three things about Joseph that really give me encouragement. Number one, you will not find one single word that Joseph spoke in Scripture. Not a single word. Oh, we can throw in maybe what he said to the innkeeper, but all we heard was, and read in Scripture, is there was no room for them at the inn. We fill in the blanks of the conversation, but not one single word is spoken. It was Joseph's life that counted. I want to tell you, people may not remember what you say. They may not remember those catchy little phrases or that little wisdom you imparted to them, but they are watching your life. Your children are watching your life. Your grandchildren are watching you. People all around, those that work with you, that work under you, are watching your life. Number two thing that strikes me about Joseph is Joseph was a nobody who became a somebody. You know why Joseph's listed in Scripture? Because Joseph was a man who God could entrust to do some great things. You today may not feel qualified, you may not feel capable, smart enough, or worthy enough, but I'm telling you what, it's not you, it's the God who will empower you to do what you need to do. God's asking you to take on a ministry, possibly. You need to step up and do it. God might be asking you to step into some leadership role at Calvary Baptist Church, and you're hesitant, and you've got all these questions that you're asking in your mind. Can I tell you something? God is looking for people to step up. God's leading you to be a soul winner, maybe to get out and share the gospel with people. How important it is to do that. But third thing that strikes me about Joseph is, after the Christmas scenes that we read, and Joseph having maybe one incident at the life of Jesus at 12 years old, do you notice that Joseph fades off the scene? Fathers, I'm sorry, but as your children grow, you fade off the scene. You call those big football players, who do they go ahead and talk about on television? Hi, Mom. But think about this. In the later years of Jesus, no mention of Joseph. It's probably that Joseph had passed away because the Lord Jesus, while he's on the cross, what did he say to John? He said, John, take care of your mother. Joseph was no longer around. And I think it's important for you and I to recognize that while God is asking you to do a task, whether it be in the area of music, whether it be in the area of teaching, whether it be in any function here at Calvary Baptist Church, could I say to you, the task is not about you. It's about the God and the gospel he's entrusted to you. That's the important part. How important it is for us to really think about the gospel. Our time is short, and how we need to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. God's looking to entrust you with the things of his kingdom. Let's pray together.